You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Pastor Rhonda. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
All right, I want to begin this morning. We're going to be talking about contending for the plan. And I want to start out today with Luke chapter 2, verse 52. This is speaking of Jesus as he was growing up, as a child, really, as a young man. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to look at that in the message. It says, and Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. How many of you know he was born a baby? He had to grow up. But he didn't just mature physically. He also grew up knowing the things of his Father. He was growing up in spirit, growing up in God. And the next portion of scripture is just after that, as he was beginning his ministry. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Starting at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their father, left the ship and their father, and they followed him. Now I want you to notice in verse 20 and again in verse 22 that when Jesus called to these men, these businessmen, they immediately left everything and went to follow him. Now, do you know how odd that is? To this point, he had done nothing in the ministry. He had done no miracles. He may have shared with people. He may have ministered to a few individuals. We don't know. But I know his miracles hadn't yet begun. So what was it about Jesus that would cause businessmen to walk away from their business as soon as he called? As soon as they heard him say, hey, come follow me, they left their businesses. And we know Peter didn't just have a little fishing, bass boat. No, the Bible said he had partners and ships. He had quite a fishing business going. And you know what? Jesus said, come follow me. And they walked away from their businesses to follow him. Now, what was it about Jesus that caused them to do that? I was laying in bed one night and I was thinking about these things, meditating on these things. And I thought, Lord, what was it about Jesus that caused people to follow him out into the wilderness without taking food and water? They weren't even concerned about taking food and water. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And so by the thousands, maybe the tens of thousands, they followed him out into the desert. What would cause that? What was that on his life? And then I thought, he grew in favor with both God and men. So I was meditating on these things as I fell asleep. And when my eyes popped open in the morning, the Holy Spirit spoke up in my heart as clear as I've ever heard him. And he said, he, referring to Jesus, he knew his God and he knew his purpose. He knew his God and he knew his purpose. Now listen, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know him? I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him. Now I know a little bit about a lot of you, but I really know that man. Why? Because for 23 years, we've been together 24/7, 365. We work together, we do everything together, we cook supper together, we do everything, and we talk, and we fellowship, and we share our hearts, and we share life, and we share everything. I know him. I know him. How did that happen? By spending time together. How are you going to know God for yourself? I'm not just talking about knowing about him. Knowing about him is not enough. Listen, the devil knows about him. do you do life with him? Do you let him in to every aspect of your life? Every day, do you check in with heaven? Every day, do you fellowship with him? Jesus was able to do what he did because he knew his God and he knew his purpose. Daniel 11:32. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. I don't have time to explain all that. That's not the point I want to focus on. The part I want to focus on is the last half. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Glory to God. When you know your God, then you can be strong and do exploits. But it doesn't just come from a casual relationship. It doesn't just come from you sitting in church and sleeping. Or playing on your phone or checking your Facebook or... Oh yeah, you'd be surprised what we can see from up here. We've had people come into church and do crazy stuff. Anyway, I won't get... Pastor almost had to stop service one night and tell people, go get a room. Don't do that in my church. During the sermon. Yeah. It's interesting what you... Anyway, we need to know him. Not just know about him. We need to know him. That comes from time. Fellowship. Being with him. Praying. Spending time in his presence. Are you getting to know him better every day? I hope you are. Because in this hour, we need him. Whether you know it or not, you really need him. Brother, I heard Brother Copeland say this. He said, what you're doing every day now determines where you will be a year from now. Where do you want to be a year from now? Start taking steps today to get there. Because what you do every day now determines where you'll be a year from now. Selah. Pause and think on these things. Jesus knew his God. But beyond that, the Holy Spirit said to me, he knew his purpose. How many of you know a purpose is different from a plan? Pastor Mark was all over my sermon when he was taking the offering this morning. I'm like, seriously? No, all that means is we're in the flow. Holy Ghost lead in the same direction. Purpose is the reason why something is done, the aim or intention of something. Listen, Jesus' plan was the cross. But what was the purpose? The purpose was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, Jesus didn't just know the plan, but he knew the purpose behind it. He didn't just know he was going to the cross to sacrifice his life. He knew why he was doing it. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, since we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look, woo for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? For the joy that was set before him. What joy was that? Us coming home. Us coming home. us getting our sins forgiven so that we can live forever with him in heaven someday. He knew that through the sacrifice he was about to make, many would come home. Yes, he knew the plan. He knew what he was going to have to go through. But beyond that, he knew why he was going to have to go through it. And the knowing of the why got him through the hardships of the what. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That word despising is a word that's changed meaning since the King James Version was written. You know, the good thing about the King James Version is it's been around for a very long time. It was written in 1611. It stood the test of time. The bad part about the King James is it's been around a very long time. Some words have changed meaning. How many of you know that's true even in our society? Round about 1900, if you said I was gay, you meant you were happy. How many of you know that ain't exactly how people would take that today? You understand? Words change meaning over time. This is a word that did despising. We don't, you know, the word despising here isn't to hate something like we think of despising. I despise Brussels sprouts. That's not the way this, that's not what this word means. It means to count as of little significance. Some of the newer translations bring that out. So what was he saying? We are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, counting as of little significance the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, he did that for you, and he did that for me. And knowing that we were going to be able to come home, knowing that was the purpose that was in the heart of God, made the hardships of the plan bearable. You know, sometimes when we are doing things for God, doing the things that God has asked us to do, keeping that purpose before our eyes makes the hardships of the plan bearable. How many of you have ever set out to do something for God? You knew it was God in your heart, but it didn't exactly go the way you planned. You encountered unexpected hardships or twists and turns that you never anticipated. Listen, knowing the why will get you through the what. Why does this ministry exist? Why does Cornerstone Word of Life Church even exist? What was the purpose in the heart of God when he put a dream into the heart of a man and sent him to Madison, Alabama? What was God trying to accomplish? Listen, we as a church are here to bring a move of God to the Tennessee Valley and to our nation as a whole, and really to the nations of the world, that will demonstrate the reality of our awesome God. There is a God. There is a God. And he's not disconnected. He's connected and he's powerful. And he's here. And if you come to Cornerstone, you're going to see him show up and show out. Why? Because the world needs to see the reality of our awesome God. They're lost and dying. The result of that will be many souls being won to Christ. That's our plan. That's our mandate. That's our purpose. That's what keeps us going. That's what makes the hardships bearable. Knowing that and keeping it before your eyes is critical to getting you and us through the hardships of the plan. That's what got Jesus through. Was seeing past the cross to the glory that was coming after. Seeing past the cross to you and I being washed in the blood and made new and forever changed by his glory. Keeping your eyes on the why will get you through the hardship of the what. In the Old Testament, the life of Joseph is recorded. And I would assume most of you know that story, but I don't ever want to assume that, really, because every now and then somebody will write me a note and say, I didn't know the story. Don't just say, y'all know that story, because I didn't know the story. So I don't want to assume. Joseph was a young man. He had many brothers. Joseph was given a dream by God one night, and he saw all of his brothers bowing down to him. He was his daddy's favorite son because he, at that time, initially anyway, was the only son of the wife he loved more than the other. So he was favored by his father, and his father had even given him a coat of many colors that his brothers were jealous of. And then he comes in one morning and says, guess what? I had a dream. Y'all gonna bow down to me someday. Well, you can imagine how that went over. So these brothers said, you know, we're gonna get rid of this dreamer. So they took him out and they threw him in a pit while they decided what to do with him. And most of the brothers wanted to murder him, literally, kill him. One of the brothers intervened and said, you know, let's just sell him, which, you know. So they took his coat of many colors off of him and sold him to a band of Egyptians that were traveling through as a slave. And they took his coat and they dipped it in blood and took it back and told their dad they found it and that a wild animal had killed their son, had killed his son. And he was sold into slavery. Well, while he was in slavery, he had all kinds of things happen to him. You know, he was a man of integrity, and the Bible says that everything that he did prospered under his hand. And he was working with, I can't think of the man's name right now, he was working with someone in their home, and who was it? Potiphar? Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. Here's this, you know, young, studly fellow working in her home, and she decided, you know, I'm going to get me some of that. So she started putting the moves on him, you know, and started behaving inappropriately. And that's a modern version. Don't look for that in there because it's not written like that. I'm paraphrasing, okay? Uh-huh. Now y'all are laughing, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm saying it in a way you can understand. So she's putting the moves on him, right? And she's trying to make him do things he ought not do. And he was such a man of integrity. He said, I'll not betray my master like this. He's entrusted everything to me. He even entrusted, you know, me to do right by you, and I'm not going to do this. And so she grabbed a hold of him, and he ran. And in running, he left his overcoat with her. And she was so mad that she was rejected that she went to her husband, and she said, this slave you brought into our house tried to rape me. And look, here's his coat that he left behind as I tried to get away from him, you know. So he ended up in prison. He ended up getting thrown in prison. Well, how many of you know he didn't do nothing? He had kept his honor. And the Bible says, even in prison, he rose to second in command. Favor of God was on him. Now listen, second in command in prison, you know, I guess that's better than not being in command. I don't know what benefit it got him exactly. Maybe he got a blanket and nobody else did. I don't know how it worked, but you know, if there was one bean in the pot, he got it. I don't know. But whatever, he was in charge of the prison, and all of a sudden the baker and the cupbearer for the king got thrown in because they displeased the king. They got thrown in prison with him, and they both had dreams, and he interpreted the dreams. And one of them, the dream was, you're going to be restored to your position. And when you get restored, don't forget me. Put in a word for me to the king, because I haven't done anything. And he said, I will do that. I'll put in a word for you to the king. So he got sprung out of prison, the one he interpreted his dream that he was going to get released from prison. And he did, and he stood again before the king, but he forgot all about Joseph. So another year, Joseph languished in prison. How many of you know he had opportunity to be bitter at a lot of folk? But he must have refused it, or he wouldn't have had the blessing of God on him the way he did. How many of you know the Bible's honest about people's faults and failings? If he'd have been bitter, it'd have been in there. But he kept his heart right, and a few years, about a year later, the king needed somebody to interpret a dream he had. And I think this is so fascinating because he wouldn't tell the guys his dream. He said, you tell me what I dreamed and then give me the interpretation. And they're like, we can't do that. I mean, I can make up something if you tell me to dream, but I can't tell you the dream if I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't know what to do. And so they came, the cupbearer remembered Joseph in prison and said, you know, he interpreted my dream. I know a guy. I know a guy. I could hook you up. And so they sent for Joseph in prison, and they brought him before the king, and he told the king his dream, and he told him what it meant. And because of that, he had such favor with the king that the king kept him out of prison, made him second command in the nation. And because he was second command in Egypt, he was able to put things in place to save Egypt through a famine. And in so doing, he saved his family. He saved his family that had sold him into slavery by giving them food when there was no food in a time of great famine. And you know what? When they came to get the food, they bowed down to him, just like he saw in his dream. Now, how many of you know that didn't happen the way he thought? There was a whole lot of twists and turns in there and a lot of hard work and a lot of grief that he never anticipated when he first had that dream. How many of you know sometimes that is how things are when we start out to do things with and for God? But I want us to look at Psalms 105, starting at verse 16. It's talking about Joseph and about Egypt and about this story and about this time. And it says this, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. Verse 17. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. You know what? If the Bible mentions his feet were really hurt. It says they hurt his feet with fetters and he was laid in iron. But this is the verse I wanted to get to, verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. What? Until God's word came to pass, that he'd spoken to Joseph, that word tried Joseph. I want us to look at it in the NLT, New Living Translation. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. That's what the New Living says. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Selah. Pause and think on these things. Between the time when God speaks to you and you get up from your knees and say amen, until the time that his word comes to pass in your life, your dreams come true, that word is testing you. Are you going to believe? Are you going to hold fast? All of that testing of his character was there to prepare him to fulfill his destiny. It was trying his character, preparing him for the plan that was coming, but it was trying him. The Lord wants and needs constancy from us. Constancy, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and God said that to me one day. He needs constancy. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, constancy is the quality of staying the same, a lack of change, the quality of being loyal to a person or belief, a steadfastness of mind under duress, stress, and pressure, fortitude, fidelity, loyalty, a state of being constant or unchanging. You know what? Can you stay constant and unchanging between the amen and the there it is? Because during that interim period, the plan is trying you. We had some young ministers go out from our church and they were struggling. And talking to them, I just told them, I said, look, there is no way around this testing period, this proving period. God wants to make sure you're going to make it, for he trusts you with a whole ton of people. The devil's watching to see if he can take you out or if you're going to stick with it. I said, you're in that proving period, and there's no way around it. The plan, the word, it's testing you. Are you with me? From eternity past, God had a plan in his heart and mind that he called Cornerstone Word of Life Church. This church is supernaturally birthed. God birthed this plan. God spoke to a man and told him to come to another state, in this city, and start, well, really Huntsville, but, and start a church. Nobody got mad and went down the street. Nobody split a church. This is a God-breathed plan. This plan is from the heart of God. But the purpose behind the church is even more important than just the church. Again, what is the purpose of this church? We're here to bring a move of God to the Tennessee Valley and to our nation that will demonstrate the reality of our awesome God to a lost and dying world, which will result in many souls being won to Christ. Listen, we need to contend for that plan. It's entrusted to us. He gave us this plan. I want us to define our terms. Contend. According to the Webster 1828 dictionary, contend means to strive, to use earnest efforts to obtain or to defend and preserve. The plan of God on the earth does not just come to pass apart from the cooperation of human beings to make it so. How many of you know that's true? Are you out there? How shall they hear without a preacher? How can they go unless they be sent? We have to cooperate. We have to do our part for the plan of God to come to pass. Every one of us has a supply of the Spirit to add to this place to bring the plan and purpose of God to pass. And there's something for you to do, something you can add to bring that plan to pass and fulfill the purpose of God. Now listen to me. What would it be worth to you to see hope come to somebody whose life was hopeless and they were suicidal and depressed? I'm telling you, we've had people come into this church saying, Lord, if you don't meet me this morning, I'm going to kill myself. And God met them in a supernatural way that morning, preserved their life alive. What would it be worth to you to see a deformed child made whole? To see people get out of wheelchairs, to see limbs grow out where there were none. That's the kind of stuff we're called to. What would it be worth to you to see that? What is my point? You have a supply of the Spirit that we need to help us fulfill the plan. We can't do this alone, but together with each of us giving our supply and each of us contending for this plan called Cornerstone Word of Life Church, it will come to pass. Now, we've already seen miracles. We've already seen tremendous results, but it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. Today, we want to give you the opportunity to sign up for certain areas of the church that need your help. We need you to contend for this plan with us. We can't, there is something that you can add. We can't do it alone. But if we all contend for the plan and purpose of God, it will come to pass. Now, listen, I know some of you are thinking, I just don't have time, Pastor Rhonda, to help at church. I'm so busy doing other things in my life. But listen to me, I can't imagine that any of the things that keep us so busy in this life are more important than helping God bring to pass his plans and his purposes. You know, bless my poor daughter's heart. She's got a little bit of a sassy mama. I'm sure you never knew that, but, you know, I needed her to get ready for church or do something one day, and she's like, I just don't feel like it. You know how teenagers are. If you're in here, sorry. But I told her, I said, I am absolutely certain Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross for you either. But aren't you glad he didn't yield to his flesh and stay home? It worked the first few times. But I wanted to say it to a few adults. What do you got going on that's more important than helping the King of the universe, your creator, fulfill his plans and purposes in the earth? And you know what? It's such an awesome opportunity we have, because this isn't just a normal church. This is a church called to the supernatural power of God. A church with signs, wonders, and demonstrations. What an honor. What an honor to be part of this. And I mean that. I was sitting at Rhema the other day while they were doing their thing, and I just cried and cried. And I was like, God, thank you. Thank you for not leaving me where I was. Thank you for bringing me into the fullness of the Spirit, where there's power and demonstration and lives are changed and people's bodies are healed and marriages are restored. And you know, oh my goodness, Father, thank you. Thank you. It is an honor for all of us to be called to this plan. I want to show you something. Johnny and Michael, you guys willing to help me? Now that I called you out without asking? Can you two come here? Oh, be brave and be strong. No? Oh, come on. Be a sport. Pastor Rhonda needs you. I want you to hold just the very, very end. All right, then I want you to come down here. Uh-oh. That was not supposed to happen. Shabbat. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right, I need you to hold the very, very end. All right. Excuse me. I should have done, you know, like a... Anyway. No, I really shouldn't have. Anyway. Even that was too much. Sorry. Okay, focus, Rhonda. How many of you know we all have 24 hours in a day? 7 days in a week. So all you math wizards, how many hours is that? 168 hours in a week. This string is 168 inches long. Every inch of this string represents an hour out of your life. And I shouldn't have called you wizards. I meant you mathematicians, you. Every inch of this string represents an hour out of your week. All right? It's 168 inches long. Church on Sunday is about an hour and a half. So this piece of paper is about an inch and a half long. So that's the time out of your week to come on Sunday morning. And let's say you're a really faithful church attender. Here's another hour and a half for Wednesday night. Now, how many of you know, in the scope of everything, that doesn't seem like that big of a sacrifice. And if you use that hour and a half occasionally to help God bring to pass his plans and purposes, what a small sacrifice that is. I had a woman one time tell me, she said, I can't come to church on Sunday morning. I am too busy. Well, unfortunately for her, I had this handy-dandy string in my Bible. And I said, out of your 168 hours this week, you can't give God this? After he gave his life for you? Was tortured to death for your sin? She said, well, if you put it that way... But how many of you know I wanted you to see? In the course of life, it's not that big a deal. You still got 165 other hours to do whatever important stuff you got going, like IG and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook for us over 50. Thanks, guys. You can kind of wad it up for me. I mean, don't wad it totally. Yes. Yeah, like that. so I can have a second service. Okay. So if what you're doing is so important that it's more important than God and his plans, then I want you to find me after service and tell me what it is that you're so busy doing. Because, thank you, sir. And thank you for helping me, guys. I really appreciate it. I should have asked you beforehand, but I just can't imagine that we have that much going on that we can't do what's necessary to help God. Serving God and helping to bring forth his plans and purposes in the earth and here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church is an honor and a privilege. And I mean that sincerely. Listen, I was a full-time volunteer for the first 10 to 15 years of this church, working 80 to 120 hours a week as a volunteer. I didn't receive a penny for what I did. Why was I willing to do that? For the love of my Father and to help him fulfill his plans and purposes here in Madison. You know what? It might take you having to get up just a little bit earlier on Sunday morning. It might take you having to get here a half hour. If I put another half inch on there, how many of you know it ain't gonna make that big a difference? If the worst thing the Lord ever asks you to do is come early and put your hand to something at church, how many of you know you're a blessed people? People are dying for the sake of the gospel all over the world right now. Today, we want to give you the opportunity to help God achieve his plan here called Cornerstone Word of Life Church for the sake of the souls of men coming home. This week, you can sign up at the tables in the back to volunteer in the following areas. Children's Church. We have children's churches over here. Let's start with nursery. How many of you know you can go to the nursery table here and sign up to help one service a month, one little hour and a half out of a month, to help train up children to know God? What an honor to be one of the first people to ever tell a child about God and his love for them and that he created them. How crazy to be the very first one to be able to share that with a child. Then we have children's church. We have kinder church, which is 4 and 5 year olds. And then we have torch, which is 1st through 6th grade. Even there, the demonstrations of God in those classrooms are amazing. God shows up and shows out in the children's areas, not just here in the adult services. I walked back to sit in on kinder church, our 4 and 5 year olds, one Sunday morning, and I opened the door. I pop in every now and then. They never know when I'm coming, just to see what's going on. But I opened the door to go in, and the presence of God was in there. I'm talking 4 and 5 year olds. Presence of God was in there. It stopped me at the door. It stopped me in my tracks, and I just stood there and watched. And these 4 and 5 year olds, some of them were down on their knees. Some of them were sitting in their chairs, but they had their eyes shut and their hands in the air, and they were singing to God. They were really worshiping him, and he came off of their prayers, off of their worship. He was in that room. In our elementary age kids, they've had visions of Jesus. They've had visitations from God. We had an angelic visitation one Sunday morning. We're training them to know their God. How wonderful to spend a lifetime knowing the truth and knowing God and not have to spend years of heartache going from improper relationship or drug addiction or alcohol. Let's just avoid all that. Let's teach them aright the ways of God. It's an honor and it's a privilege. We also have a nursing home ministry. You can sign up over here. Listen, if you'd like just loving on people, those are people that need loved on. Who better? Who is closer to heaven? You want to minister to somebody who's close to heaven? That's a good place to go. We have a catch team. Catch team that works with first-time attenders. Listen, sometimes when people come through the door, if somebody doesn't show them love, they're not going to stay. I know of a situation where a man came in fully intending to leave and kill himself. Not here, so we're not full of suicidal people, okay? It's one here and another somewhere else over 25 years that I know of, okay? But anyway, he came in that morning and he said, Lord, it wasn't our church, but he said, Lord, if you don't do something for me this morning, I'm gonna kill myself. And he meant it. He had a plan. He knew what he was gonna do. he sat down in the back row and he started to get up and he said, you know, it's just useless. What am I even doing? So he started to get up to leave. And the Spirit of God in the meantime had spoken to an usher and said, you know, you need to go talk to him. He needs Christ now. And so he sat down and struck up a conversation with them, led him to Christ before the service ever began, took him to an altar worker. They did their thing, got him born again. But he told them later, he said, if God hadn't intervened, I was picking up my things to leave. And I would have killed myself that day. I'm telling you, you don't know the intervention in somebody's life you can make by your kindness, by your love. Our Catch team works with first-time attenders to help them and love on them and get to know them. We have a bookstore that's full of Word of Faith materials, that's full of materials and books that'll change your life. And you can be part of distributing that and making sure those get into the hands of those who need them. Also, 1229 coffee is on here. I don't have a real spiritual one for that, but I guess everybody can use a caffeine jolt to stay awake in service. I don't know. You can help them stay awake in service with the caffeine. Is it still a fundraiser for the youth? No. Okay, never mind. But, you know, it's there and people who like coffee come. Okay. If you're interested in one of these ministries, then I would encourage you, the praise and worship team. I almost forgot you. The praise and worship team. My goodness, don't you love what they do? They help to usher in the presence of God that the rest of us get to experience. It's an honor and it's a privilege to do that. It's an honor and it's a privilege to stand, you know, on the stage and not only be a worship leader, but be a lead worshiper. And usher in his presence. I'm so grateful. There are tables set up. Listen, give your supply. Let's together contend for the plan. Hand in hand, we're going to see the will and the plan of God fulfilled right here at Cornerstone Word of Life Church. But if you're not giving your supply, I would encourage you to do it. Man, someday when you get to heaven, there's going to be people lined up to thank you. Because when we all put our effort towards the plan and the purposes of God, great things are done for the kingdom of God. Souls are saved. Marriages are saved. And you're going to be able to help be a part of that by adding your supply of the Spirit towards this plan. So let's contend for the plan.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.